Rick Harrison last week. Wow, wasn't that great? Who'd like to have Eric and Christine back? Yeah, I would. I just thought they were just amazing. Eric was fantastic. He's actually at C3 Joondal up this morning, speaking for Rod Waters. But this morning, created to become like Christ is our title. And we've gone through a number on this series, and we're into the third purpose of our lives in this title. And I've got a different title that I'm going to explain in a moment that goes along with created to become like Christ. And so we've looked at, haven't we? What on earth am I here for? We know that we've got eternity in our hearts, that God put a purpose in our life, that we have a seed of God in our spirits. Ecclesiastes talks about it. We know that we are planned for God's pleasure. We are. Something happens when we worship God, doesn't it? We can worship lots of things, but there's a transaction with His Spirit and our spirit when we worship God. Powerful thing. God created us, and so there's a whole friendship deal in which we've talked about that, and we're created for God's family. Who's glad they're a part of the family of God? It's exciting, isn't it? No matter where you go around the world, you're part of God's family. You can always find a place. You're not isolated, which is awesome. So this morning, I want to just tweak it a little bit because I was listening to Eric and last week, and I want to give you this title, Transformed by Trouble. Transformed by Trouble. All right. So the first point I want to make is that you were created to become like Christ. I want to flick it around. All right. So first point, you're created to become like Christ. Now bear with me. Is it any wonder then that you will face trials of all kinds if you're going to be like Christ? Is that true, Jacques? It's because you're sitting on your own. I zero in on you. Because we're like going to be like Christ, do we actually think we're going to get away with a perfect life? Quite the reverse, in fact. And to add to that, what kind of a world do we live in? A fallen world, a broken world. And so we are going to face trials and situations in our life. And so what was one of the first things that happened to Jesus? Now, I love this part because it says that he was led by the Spirit. When he was starting his ministry, he was led by the Spirit. Where was he led to? He was led into the wilderness and the devil got a hold of him. But he was led by the Spirit. The devil tried to get Jesus to rely on his flesh, turn the rock into bread. How often do we want to rely on ourselves? The devil tried to get Jesus to take power over the kingdoms of this world rather than worship his Father. How many times do we think we can take control of situations? Of course, that's in its extreme when we have, somebody leader. It'll come to me. No one knows what I'm talking about, so we'll move on. Dictators, that's them. And the devil tried to get Jesus, probably out of frustration by this stage, to throw himself off the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus refused, saying, "You don't put God to the test." How many times when we think it's all too much and we try and give up? And the devil wants to take us out, but we rise stronger. And if we don't know by now, we've got a family that looks after us and cares for us so we can get through those situations that are hard. Only human beings are made in God's image. Monkeys are not made in God's image. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I don't look like a baboon. Now, in South Africa, they're really nasty. All right. We are spiritual beings, created to be like God, righteous and holy, are we not? So, how do we become more like God? Through the painful hardships of life. This is a real uplifting message this morning, isn't it? God wants you to take on His values, His character and His attitude. Let's look at this. Ephesians 4, verse 22 in the Message. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort. Oh, really? Let me say it again. God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. Christ-likeness is all about transforming your character, not your personality. Who's glad that your personality stays intact? You're allowed to be who you are. But God wants to work on your character. And every time you forget that character is one of God's purposes for your life, you'll become frustrated by your circumstances. For the first few years of this church, well, it was actually, I guess, a service. We started a service close to 15 years ago now, might be a bit longer. And for the first, I think it was about the first 5 years, because I was the only one living actually in Fremantle, because we'd planted from a church north of the river, C3 Hepburn Heights, and so it was just my family. In fact, Jared was only a tiny one-year-old who's a bit crooked today, so he's had to stay home. And my wife's next door, by the way, in case you're wondering, Evina's not my wife. Thank God, both ways, all right? It just so happens Ben's sick as well. You're a naughty, naughty girl. Anyway, you've lost my train of thought. We used to have all the sound equipment in my lounge room. We didn't have carpets or anything because, well, we were poor back then. We're not so poor now. You look after us pretty well now. Thank you, church. But back then, I had all this, and one day, because I used to work on the side, and I'd come home from, because I did two jobs, because I didn't have enough income, so I was working this other job, and I'd sometimes get home really late, and I remember walking in one day, and I'm seeing all this stuff, and I wish, can we get this, doesn't anybody care? And I was like kind of kicking things in the air, you know, not really kicking things, but, and I was just like, does anyone have a moment like that? You know, you just had enough. 5 years, is it ever going to get any easier? You know, we had a handful of people, but God hadn't taken away the vision in our heart to plant a Pentecostal church in Fremantle. But Lord, can you make it any harder? Come on. That's my thoughts. And you know, I'd lug these big speakers, they were bigger than these, up the stairs to the East Fremantle Football Club. And you know, after a while, I think, doesn't anybody else, don't they think they could help me? And so I'd take it out of my family, and then I'd be angry all day. I'd get angry. You know, and then one day I used to go and pray. Across the road was a golf course, the Fremantle golf course, and I'd go up to the top and I'd look over Fremantle. One day God says, well, what are you going to do about it, Nigel? It's just like, what do you mean? What are you going to do about it? Well, which was nice just to have some help. And he goes, oh, what are you going to do about it? And that was the time that God said to me clearly, now, we were still a handful of people, literally, but that was the time that God said to me very clearly that we were to look for a permanent lease facility. We ended up being in the cave upstairs up the road where Port Care still is with a handful of people. And so I remember some blessed senior members of our church, and I thought, they're not going to like this place. It's full of dust. It used to be an old supermarket. It was horrible. It was horrible. Full of rats and pigeons. Terrible place. And they looked at it and they go, oh, I think God's going to make a home here. And it was from there that we were able to buy this facility. Now, why am I saying that? Because if it wasn't for the pressure and the hard work, I wouldn't have really heard from God. And we can get all frustrated and upset. Well, at least I can. I can't really talk for you, but I get an inkling that maybe some of you do from time to time. And we can take it out on the wrong people. And ones that are actually doing the journey with you, rather simply recognizing life is supposed to be difficult. Guys, life is not meant to be easy. And the troubles help us to grow. and allow me to show you some points about ourselves. Let's put these points up. Let's see if a comfortable lifestyle. Let's be honest. Or is it maybe we like that? A constant happiness. Full realization of your dreams. And look at this one. Instant relief from problems through faith and prayer. If God doesn't heal me today, that's it. Or whatever the situation is. We often expect the Christian life to be easy, don't we? And let's think back a moment to Jesus when he started his ministry. And because after all, this session is about becoming more like Christ. The first words were the Spirit led Jesus. Where did the Spirit lead Jesus? Into trouble. Why? To perfect him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. You know, at least 8 times in the New Testament, there are these words, make every effort. Turn to your neighbor and say, make every effort. In our growth toward becoming like Christ, what have we got to do? Make every effort. Make every effort. When we're going through hard times, do you think God can actually be speaking to you? When you're going through a hard time, will you listen to what God might be trying to say to you? It doesn't just happen by sitting around and waiting. We expect in our society, because we have such a great life, I thank God that we have a multicultural church, because we get to hear all the different, how life is not like this in other places. So your character is essentially the sum of your habits. Did you hear me? I said, your character is essentially the sum of your habits. See, God is more interested in what you are than in what you do. Is that true? So, the education system's got a lot to be desired for, but that's another point. The thing is, though, is it not, that God's created us with certain facets and giftings, and that we'll move into those, and that's where God needs to put us. I agree. But if we just work on the achievement and don't allow God into our world, how are we ever going to be what God wants us to be? And so we need to reverse the table of this world if we're going to live for Christ. And we need to say, God, I want to do the things well because I want to develop your character. And yes, I have to live within certain parameters because that's my world. But I want myself to be changed. I don't want to allow the world to change me into this creature I should never become. And so second, God has a purpose behind every problem. So let's face it, life is a series of problems. I don't think there'd be... Come on, put your hands up. Who thinks life's a series of problems? I do. Life's a series of problems. You fix one problem and there's another one. You know, you think, oh, I'm having a great season, and then, oh, it's like, I shouldn't have said that. Poof. Another one. 1 Peter 4:12. Let's get some scripture to back these things up. Don't be bewildered or surprised when you go through the fiery trials ahead, for this is no strange, unusual thing that is going to happen to you. In other words, hey, it's part of life. God will use the problem you are facing to draw you closer to himself. I used to work in a tire factory. And worked there for a number of years. And we used to make retreads. But that's not the point. One day I actually I got handed my check to say, see you later. It was pretty sudden. And I was quite desperate because I was nearly quite young married. And I had bills to pay and a mortgage. I used to live north of the river back then. And I thought, oh God, what am I going to do? And you know, the very next day, I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and I ended up being a brickies labourer for 7 weeks until I was going on a trip to India with the missions team from that church. When I was in India, God spoke to me and said, go to Bible college. I had to get out of my work environment so that God could actually reshape and re-envision my life. And it was through that experience that God's still trying to perfect me, because now I'm pastor of this church. Yep, no, it's a long journey. See, God could have kept Joseph out of jail, but he chose not to. I have a sneaking suspicion that Pharaoh had doubts about it, his own wife's morality. And I also think that once Joseph was in jail, he had his get out card more than once through the prophecies that he gave, but they forgot to tell Pharaoh. Kind of weird, don't you think? And all the while, Joseph is exemplary. He's the captain of the guard in the prison. He's got everything working so well. He's able to leave it to the jailer. Knows he's got everything running like clockwork, and he's kept his relationship with the Lord in a dark and dingy dungeon. It was nothing like our prisons today. It was a terrible environment, but he was able to worship God through all the pain. And everything, all the injustices. And in one day, he went from being the prisoner, the down and out, to the ruler of Egypt. What an incredible thing. So your most profound and intimate experiences of worship will likely be through your darkest days. When do you need God most? Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:9. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed and thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves but on God who can raise the dead. Regardless of the cause, none of your problems could happen without God's permission. He intends to use it for good, even when Satan and others have meant it for harm. Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say God causes everything to work out the way I want it to. I think we wish it does sometimes. If you're anything like me, why don't you just do this, God? Why don't you just get that person? None of you ever think that? Ever? God causes everything to work out the way. Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't say God causes everything to work out to have a happy ending on earth. That's not true either. There are many unhappy endings on earth. Rather, our hope in difficult times is based on the truth of God's word. He is in complete control. Church, you are not in control. He is in complete control. Allow God into those moments. Even when you can't see, isn't that always the case? That's almost... You can't see. God's still in control, guys. See, God doesn't make mistakes. All that happens to you, including your mistakes, he can rectify. Whether it be a bad divorce, a disaster, a death, a debt, God has all things in hand. See, God specializes in bringing good out of bad situations. And God's purposes are always greater than our problems, always greater than our pain, even our sin. God can work through it. You sometimes think you've done the worst thing in the world. You know what? God still loves you. He simply wants you to get back on track with him. What an incredible God. What happens outwardly in your life is not as important as what happens inside of you. Since God intends us to become like Jesus, he will take you through the same experiences that Jesus went through. Here's some of them. Loneliness, temptation, stress, criticism, rejection, misunderstood. It really is an endless list. Romans 8:17 says this, we go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. So to round this kind of point off, don't give up, grow up. Don't give up, grow up. 3, growing through temptation. I don't think there'd be a person in this room that's never been tempted, right? Temptation's one of those things that we live with. And it provides us with a choice. Because it's an opportunity to do good. Every time you choose to do good instead of sin, you are growing into the character of Christ. Galatians 5, 22-23, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives. Who'd like the Holy Spirit to control their life today? When the Holy Spirit controls your life, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's not forget self-control, hey? God develops the fruit of the Spirit. When everything's going smoothly, is that how it happens? When does God develop the fruit of the Spirit? When everything's going pear-shaped, right? When everything's got a bit ugly, God develops the fruit of the Spirit. That's when God is working on you. So how does God teach you love? By putting you with people you might not otherwise have association with, like in church, on various teams. How else do we learn? How do we learn to love one another? We've got it. It's our actual vision. We took it off the two greatest commandments. Jesus said, love God and love each other. Mark 7:21, from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasure, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. So Satan will try and seduce you. Is it really all that wrong? I'm the only one that's ever happened to. I can tell. Is it really all that wrong? When you're being tempted, is it really all that wrong? And doesn't God want me to be happy? You can twist things however you want to twist them with you, you know, but we've got to recognize that God wants us to actually grow up through this situation. Yeah. Happiness is kind of circumstantial, is it not? Yeah. I mean, I go on annual leave today. My wife and I, we're celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary this next week. Yeah, thank you. So, in fact, we've got some great we're actually hearing from Jordan Ricardo. I think it's next week. Next week. Our youth man. Fantastic. Yeah, Jordan's going to be great. And then the following week, Shane, right? Shane Elliott is going to be preaching. Shane is I love his preaching. I listened to his CDs always some wisdom there. Mr. Diplomacy, we call him. But hey, he's a great preacher. And so we're looking forward to that. And we're continuing this whole series. But will you pray for us while we're away? Just as a side thing. We'd love to do that. And so we've got two Sundays off. But what I was getting at, happiness. You know, when I'm on holidays, I'm normally in a happy mood. But I have to come back. I'm just like you. This is kind of, you know, like it's your job. Who's, when you go on holidays, but you're always, it's in the back of your mind, I have to go back. So happiness may not be quite the same as when you're on holidays. Am I right? But you can still have contentment inside. Uh-huh. You can still have the peace of God inside you. That's the key thing, is it not? That there's something in us that we know that we're in the purposes of God, and that no matter what comes at us, we're going to stay doing the right thing. The reason why we go away and celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary, because I want to stay married. I don't want to be tempted. And what must we always be vigilant, not allowing evil thoughts or doubts turn us from the living God. And temptation is a sign that Satan hates you. If you're getting tempted, Satan hates you. It's not a sign of weakness or worldliness. We're all going to get tempted. And temptation always begins with a thought. Now, David and Bathsheba says in the Bible that he couldn't sleep. Well, I want to tell you something. What the literal translation actually said, he arose from his bed. He knew exactly where Bathsheba was going to be. He was actually, all he could think about was this gorgeous blonde woman. I don't know if she's blonde or not, but anyway, you know. What's the best thing to do when you get tempted, guys? The very best thing to do when you get tempted, yeah, flee. Yana's saying flee. What's another thing that's really good to do when you get tempted? Call someone. You've got to do something else. Look, if you say, I'm not going to eat that piece of chocolate. I'm not going to eat it. What are you actually doing? You're thinking about that piece of chocolate. What do you want to do? Well, the thing you want to do is actually eat that chocolate. What's going to happen? You're going to eat that chocolate. Why do diets not work? I'm giving you some tips here this morning. Why don't diets work? Because all you do is think about food. The thing you think, you've got to do something else. Personal trainer will tell you that instead of eating that thing you used to eat, the best thing you can do is do some exercise instead, because you've got to get yourself away from the habit. So when you get tempted about so many things in life, what are you going to do? Well, why did David arise from his bed? And because all he could think about was this girl that he's seen from, and where was he supposed to be? At war. He allowed the thing to mull over in his head. Whatever you allow to mull is going to get you sooner or later unless you change and do something else. You don't resist temptation by fighting the feeling of it. The more you fight a feeling, the more it consumes and controls you, and you strengthen it every time you think about it. And since temptation always begins with a thought, the quickest way to neutralize its allure is to turn your attention to something else. So call a friend, I like that one. Run away, I like that one real lot. Especially if it's, you know, it's not your own wife or husband, run. Bible says flee. If you're not married, do the right thing, get married. See, you're only as sick as your secrets. Whatever you can't talk about is already out of control in your life. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Father God. Father God. We'll just raise our hands to God for a moment. Father God. Lord, help us this morning. Help us this morning to be more like Christ. Less about us, Lord. More about you. Father God, Lord, I realize that I'm going to have problems in my life. I realize that through those problems and challenges, Father, that I can become more like you. Lord, I'm willing for you to talk to me. I want to hear your voice in those terrible times, those dark times. And Father, when I'm tempted, Lord, I pray that you would help me. You would help me to be the kind of man or woman that you have called me to be. And that I would flee, or that I would, Father God, find a friend, or I would turn and do something else. I would change some of my thinking patterns so that I can grow up in you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Touch every life here, Lord, for your glory. The people of God said,